The title of today's sermon is found in Proverbs. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. And what I'm focusing on is the power of the tongue, or power of words, and how they affect us, both positively and negatively. One strong passage that deals with the tongue that some of you may be familiar with is found in James chapter 3. If you will, if you have a Bible, turn there. And James apparently has been on the receiving end of some negative criticism, some maybe some gossip, some slander, because he comes at this full throttle about warning about the tongue and its power. Listen to what he says in James chapter 3. Verses 3 through 12. And I know I just told y'all to sit down, but since it is the scriptures, will y'all stand with me as one more time? It says this. Now, if we put the bit into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot's desire. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be with this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? You may be seated. So, Lord, as we open up your scriptures and we begin to explore this issue of words, help us to see what, first and foremost, you say about them. Help us see how you used words, and then how we can use them. Lord, many of us have been negatively affected by the words that people have used over the years. I pray that you bring healing to them. And for all of us, Lord, that you would encourage us this morning. Show us the truth. Help us to change. Help us to receive the good words that you bring to us through your scripture and through other people and circumstances. In Christ's name, amen. The power of this can be seen in my job. I walked into the office 2.5 years ago, and it was just kind of thick with a bad culture. We have a couple people work customer service, and one, it didn't take long to realize, was not respected, not appreciated. Everybody would talk about this person, and it was never in a positive light. The gossip was running around. She couldn't do anything that was constructive. And what she did do was messed up, or wasn't done correctly, or she made errors, and it caused all these problems. It got so bad that we were going to let her go because her job performance just wasn't where it needed to be. But we had a small meeting, the service center manager and I, and I said, let's try this. Let's take 2 months and show a healthy amount of respect and appreciation to her, sharing good words with her, encouraging her, And let's just see the effect. Because we know the cost of firing somebody and trying to hire somebody and the loss. There's just a tremendous cost in doing that. So really we have nothing to lose and everything to gain. And over those 2 months and since that time, not only has she completely turned around 180 degrees, she's a significant part of the office. Not only doing her job, but now going over and above that. Coming to me with ideas, coming to me with creative problem solving and such. You guys, the point of that is that all we did, we didn't change her salary, we didn't change her hours, we changed nothing other than how we approached her. The words we used, the gossip that was going on, we said, stop, that was no longer going to happen. We're not going to talk about her that way, or you that way, or me that way, or anyone else in the office that way. The whole culture has changed. And the effect of that is that there's more productivity. There's a better atmosphere in the office. She's feeling appreciated and respected, and so is everybody else. All that changed were the words that we used. Words are incredibly powerful. That's what James was saying there in that passage. And we're going to see a bunch of other passages. But before we even get there, I want you to think about the Lord and how He used words. All the way back in Genesis. How did matter come to existence? How did life come to existence? It was just the spoken word. He spoke. And there it was. Think about the scriptures. The scriptures, and we hold to be the word of God. These are the words of God that He has given to you. This is a letter, so to speak, that God has written to you and to me. In here we find the very words of God. God has used this word to bring hope to you. This word here that Christ brought changes the direction of your eternal destiny. The words that Jesus brought and the sacrifice that He brought takes a human being and changes them from the inside out to become a new creation in Christ with a new perspective. New ideas, new desires, new character, new ethical code. Transforms the mind and the thinking of who they are and who they aren't. How to view other people. All of that is found through God and His words to you and to me. Words are extremely powerful. God used them to create all that we see, all that we are. God uses words to transform us into new creations. God uses words to transition us and redirect us from hell into heaven. Words are very powerful. Motivating. Inspiring. Helpful. Healing. Rejuvenating. Influencing. Challenging. Those are positive ways that words can be used. They can also be used in a negative way, and we all know that. They can be detrimental and debilitating, cause you to hesitate, question yourself, become insecure, be critical of yourself. Point is, it's just like the woman in our office, words have the power to change a person, to change your family, to change your marriage, to change your office. Powerful effect of negative words. You know, the scripture actually has a tremendous amount to say about this, and we're not going to be able to turn to all these passages, but most of them are in Proverbs. Just encourage you to go back and read through Proverbs, and Proverbs hits on so many different topics, but the speech, words, your tongue, it is repeated throughout Proverbs. How to use words. Listen to some of these, and here are just the negative effects. Negative effect of words. It says here, it crushes the spirit. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. A flattering mouth works ruins. Reckless words pierce like a sword. With his mouth, the godless destroys his neighbor. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. We just read in James that it's a fire, a world of iniquity, defiles the person, sets on fire the person. It's a restless evil. It's full of deadly poison. It hurts, it scars, it ruins the person that is spoken of, and, listen to me, ruins the speaker, the one who speaks like that. James says clearly, it defiles the person. It deepens the darkness for that person. Being negative, using words like we just said that bring ruin and pierce and destroy and cause dissension and separation and crushes the spirit, in a sense, that's the easy route. The more challenging route is to find true, genuine, good words to share with somebody. Uplifting words. Encouraging words. And just as there are many passages in Proverbs that deal with negative words, so are there scripture that deal with the positive effect of words. Turn with me, because this one I do want you to look at. It's Ephesians chapter 4. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. This is kind of one of my go-to verses regarding words. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul's going on and giving a lot of instruction. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says this: "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for the edification according to the need of the moment, so that it may give grace to those who hear it." I like the NIV. It says, "Do not let any unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their need, that it may benefit those who listen." God is saying, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think of words that are helpful, that build, that are beneficial to the person you're speaking to, according to their needs. These are the kind of words I want you to use, words that build into the person. In Proverbs 10:11, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life." That's the title of the sermon. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. That life in the Hebrew, it means it brings, it sustains, it restores, it heals, it brings health. Those are the kind of words we're to be using. Speaking life into each other's life. It heals. Proverbs 12 says, "The tongue of the wise brings healing." Another verse says, "The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life." Another verse, "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." These are good words. These are pleasant words. It nourishes. The lips of the righteous feed many. "The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them." An anxious heart is weighed down, but a kind word cheers a person up. Proverbs says, "How good is a timely word." "From the fruit of the lips, a man is filled with good things." A quick summary. The powerful effect of positive words, they build a person up. They bring life to a person. They heal a person. They nourish a person. They bring joy to a person. It motivates. A good word can create a vision for a person that is visionless, can rescue them, can heal some deep wounds that they have, could give them some hope, some encouragement. You know what they said about Jesus in Luke 4:22? It said, everyone was amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Romans says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How does God speak to you? In Song of Songs, it says, how beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. How about this, the word good news, gospel? You know, it's not bad news, but it's good news. Because it promises a better future. It's hope-filled. It's forgiving. There's love. There's grace. There's mercy there. God wants to give you and to give me good news. Something more beautiful, something more powerful, something more true, more excellent. How are we to speak to one another, the people around us, and even when they're not around us? God is concerned about how we speak to each other. We found that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. He understands that we are designed for input. He understands more than any of us how powerful words are. And so he challenges us to speak to one another words that build, that are beneficial, that are helpful. We see this in Ephesians. We see this in Proverbs. We see this in James. We see this in Jesus. All the Scripture is given to us so that we will hear His good words, so that we will be built up, so that we will be healed, so that we'll be inspired, we'll be motivated. And so he's so concerned about how we speak to one another, he says, I'm going to hold you accountable for the words you use. In Matthew 12, Jesus says, I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Now listen to this part, it gets scarier. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. If anyone, James says, considers himself religious, yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. There's a direct connection between what's going on in here and what's coming out of here. And Jesus says as much. He goes on to the deeper issue. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings out the evil things stored up in him. So what's the issue? If you're speaking negative things, if you're being critical all the time, if you're gossiping or tearing down, there's something wrong in here. To the person that you may work with or that's in your family or in your community or whatever it is, that's when you're around them and they constantly and consistently speaking negatively and critical and dissension, you know there's something wrong in here. They're not at peace with God, they're not at peace with themselves, and they're not at peace with the world around them. It's not you, by the way. It's here in them. And so what we need to be challenged by is to say, Lord, will you change this heart right in here? Change this from darkness to light so that I can speak life into people's lives, so I can be like the righteous and be a fountain of life to other people. That I, when I speak, I can nourish them. When I speak, I can bring healing. When I speak to them, I can bring strength. I can inspire. I can motivate. I can encourage them. This is the problem. And you and I need to be challenged this morning that, you know what, when I start going down that road, Lord, I need to stop and say, you know what, I need more of you in here to transform this mind of mine so that I can think of other people and I can say, what would help Linda right now? Yeah, I've got a lot of stuff going on in my life right now, but I'm talking to Linda right now. What can I say to encourage her that is genuine, not flatter, not like the not some surfacey stuff, but something genuine and true and right? That's more challenging. Anybody can be critical and negative. God is very concerned. He says, I'm going to hold you accountable for these words that you use. And I want to change your heart, but you got to turn and look to me. You have to ask for help. And then I'll be there. I will change you. You know, there is no law restraining the good words that you can share with somebody. You can go on and on all day long. However, there are severe warnings regarding negative, critical, piercing, gossiping words. Severe warnings. Because the Lord knows by the way He designed us that these words affect us. Listen, we've all heard negative words, critical words. And unfortunately, some of them still float around in our own minds. We recall them at different times. They're discouraging. They promote lack of confidence. They create insecurities. Every last human being has those. So, as all of us sitting in this room, we have a huge opportunity to speak life into their lives, into each other's lives. A true word, building words, honest words, hope-filled words, scriptural words that can change a person, bringing joy and healing and confidence and cheer and goodness. Rescue them. God's given us this opportunity. I want us to examine, look, and evaluate how we are speaking and then what we are receiving. So what are we speaking? Take a moment now, take a moment this week and say and think with the Lord, what's coming out of my mouth? Is it critical? Is it negative? Is it building? Is it healing or is it piercing? Is it uniting or is it dividing? We just ran through all these scriptures here in Proverbs and other places. Is it crushing? Is it bringing life? Is it ruining or healing? Is it destroying or is it nourishing? Think about the words you use. And on the receiving end, what am I listening to? Why am I listening to these words? Who am I listening to? We need to examine the words that we are speaking and that we are receiving. You need to think about how I can be more helpful to those around me with the use of my words. To find ways to benefit them. To think that through. What would be something that could be a benefit, that could be advantageous, that could be encouraging, that could help this person I'm speaking with? What could I say to them? And listen, we all have critical thoughts that come to mind, and those are the people, for certain people, and those people, it becomes very challenging. One thing I've tried to do over the years, and not only with words, but in other areas, that if there was something negative that came to mind, you use that as a prompt to turn it around and use it for something good. If something critical comes to me, you know, about somebody, then I just stop and say, yeah, but, and then something good. So you can use the negative. That makes sense. You know, you can use that when that negative thing comes to mind, comes to thought, comes to memory. You say, okay, yeah, that may be true. I'm not here to deny that that's true or not true. I'm just going to turn that around, though, and say, you know what, but here's something good. I want to focus now on the receiving part because I think this gets overlooked so much. I want us to evaluate what we're taking in, who I'm listening to, and how it's affecting me. You know, I took a thing about 9 months ago where I stopped listening to talk radio. I'm in sales. I'm in the car all the time. And so I was just listening. I had them all down. You know, this guy comes on at 9, this guy comes on at 12, this guy comes on at 3, this guy, you know, just all the way through my whole day. I did that for about a year, listened to all that. And I just felt, now this is just me, I'm not trying to, you know, but I just felt myself becoming more critical and more negative. And it was over a lot of stuff I had no ability to change whatsoever. And so, I don't know when it was, but about 9 months ago, I guess, I started listening to podcasts. And you can listen, it ranges from one end of the world to the other. I mean, it's crazy how much stuff is out there. But you get to pick and choose what you listen to. And you can pick some stuff that's very encouraging, that's very uplifting, that's very hope-filled. And so I started listening to that, and over the 9 months, I saw an effect on me and my perspective on the world around me. Simply because the words that were going into my mind, they were changing my perspective. The truths of the scriptures were coming true. If I'm sitting there in the car and for 2 hours listening to certain negativity, criticalness, you know what? Eventually, that has an effect on you. On the other side of it, if you'll start putting good stuff into your head and start thinking it through, it will have an effect on you. So as an experiment, knowing I was speaking this Sunday, it was like Thursday or something. I haven't turned on the radio in a long time, so I just turned it on. You know what the story was? The latest report from Florida is that a 69-year-old manatee died this morning. He got caught in a drainage system there at the marina, and they found him dead. Now, I'm all for the manatee. I'm born and raised in Florida, seen manatees. I think they're really neat creatures and all that. But out of all the things in the world that happened the day before, this was so critical that it made news all the way from Florida, all the way up here to Waynesville, to the Asheville, Western Carolina area, that it was so important that all of you needed to hear that. So what you're telling me is that there was no act of heroism the day before. There was nobody that gave of themselves so that somebody else could benefit. There was no other sacrificial event that happened that we could just see somebody dying to themselves to help somebody else. None of that happened, right? Because we had to prioritize what news stories we were going to share. And so this is an example of what I'm talking about, is that when you think about what you're listening to, it's a challenge to stop. Because it's almost addicting, honestly. It's weird. You kind of still want to go back and, you know, what is it? But challenge yourself, do I really need to hear about a 69-year-old manatee that died? How important is that, that I know that? Do I know that manatees die in life? Yeah, I know they die, just like all the other animals and human beings die in life. And that's unfortunate that that happened. But do I need to know that today? Instead, after that, I turned it off. And you go to a podcast that is talking about building a business, that's talking about being an entrepreneur, that's talking about life, or talking about how to be healthier, or talking about how to exercise, or how, whatever it might be. But something that builds, something that's constructive, something that's hope-filled, something that you can take in so that you can share with somebody else.
Life's too short to fill your head up with a bunch of stories about 69-year-old manatee. So whether you decide to turn off the radio, the TV, or whatever it is, I just want to challenge you to evaluate what's going into your mind. How can you get more good things into your life, into your mind? I want you to think about that. I want you to find ways to replace the negative, the critical, the yuck with good, true, noble, excellent, and praiseworthy things. And it's interesting, once you start doing that, whether it's through podcasts or different radio stations or whatever it is, but to challenge yourself, let me stop with that, because why am I listening to that? What is that doing for me? What is that doing to my mind? What is that doing to my heart? What is that doing to my perspective? And start replacing it with good things. And what ends up happening now, 9 months later, is I turn on the radio and I hear about a 69-year-old manatee dying. I'm thinking, what in the world was I doing? That's ridiculous. Why would I listen to that? What significance does that hold for you and for me? When I could be spending that same time learning about the universe. That same time learning about how to communicate better with people in my office. So I can be encouraging and respectful and appreciative of them. When I can figure out how to have a better marriage or how to raise my kids in a better way or my grandkids in a better way. You only have so much time. Time is the issue. And so considering that, think about what portion of that time are you investing in putting good stuff into your mind. And figure out ways of what can I do to get more good in there. Because if I was to ask you right now, look at your normal day, look at your normal week, and let me ask you, say, when are you getting good input? When are you getting good input? I just said it's not the radio, and I'm going to generalize and just say it's not the radio. I mean, there might be some good stations out there, but you know what I'm saying in general. As far as the news is concerned, they're going to drum up every negative story that's from around the world. I want you to think about that. Where are you getting good input? In the mornings, and man, yesterday was just phenomenal, was it not? I mean, with the cool temperatures and everything, but you get up and you sit outside, maybe on your back deck or your front porch, whatever it might be, and you open up the scriptures, and you just go over page after page after page. It's so important because there's the good input going into here and it laying that foundation for your whole day. This is the Lord saying, Steve, this is who I am. And this is what I've done in the past. And this is what I want to do today. And I don't want you to leave before I tell you this last thing. And Steve, this is who I'm making you into. And did I tell you about the grace and the mercy and the kindness that I have for you? You guys, that's the kind of input that we need. Because so much else has been put into our lives to break us down. God is into building you up. Lastly, hearing a good word is sometimes difficult to receive. Somebody is trying to say something to you that's good, and for some reason, there's an instinct to push away. I want to use an example. Linda, last year, I came up and did something. And I haven't talked to her about this, but so she's probably wondering, where is he going with this story? So I came up and I read something or something like that. Anyway, she came up in a very genuine, very loving way. She goes, Skip, I just want you to know that when you read that, it really spoke to me, and I really want to thank you for that. I was not in a place at that time to receive that. And so I did some weird, awkward thing. You know, like, oh, well, no, you know, it's just reading. Get me out of here, basically, was what I was saying, right? And she just kind of looked at me like, you got problems. I know. But sometimes it's difficult to hear that. Now, that's pretty interesting. Here is something that we all want, and yet when somebody comes and offers it in a genuine, loving way, it's good to be aware of that. Say, wait a minute, whoa. Why am I doing that? I need to hear that. I need to receive a good word that is spoken to me, an encouraging word that is spoken to me, a hope-filled word that's spoken to me. Word that's encouraging, that's healing, that's life-giving. Same thing with the scriptures. You can read over them and say, oh yeah, but not me. That can't be applied to me. I was thinking about that when we were having our time of confession. You know when the grace and the mercy and the love of God becomes very poignant and very powerful? It's that moment when you're about neck deep in sin. And in that time, you realize, and you can ask the Lord, like, you love me even now? Your grace is applied to me even now? You call me by name now? Like, right here in this moment? That's the power of the love of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God. But you've got to receive that. You've got to be there and, Lord, man, I don't deserve that. And remember, he never said you deserved it. He just said, that's how I view you. Receive the good words spoken to you. Through the scriptures or through somebody else. We all need a huge influx of positive words spoken into our lives. And apparently the Lord thinks the same according to the scriptures. When he said, speak whatever is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit them. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Heavenly Father, would you take these words, get rid of anything that's not true, but anything that's good. Anything that's helpful. Anything that is loving, Lord, would you imprint it in our minds and bury it deep and throughout our hearts. Lord, so many of us maybe grew up in homes where maybe it wasn't the most encouraging environment, or maybe we've worked in places, or maybe we're currently in one right now that's pretty dark or pretty negative or just kind of tough. I pray for each and every one of us that we would go to the scriptures and see the good word that you have for us. Lord, that we would challenge ourselves and think about where is the good being inputted into my life and take the steps to find that good thing, those good things, and start putting it in. Lord, speak to us throughout our lives. Help us to receive the good word that you give to us. And may we be a fountain of life to other people. In Jesus' name, amen.